to. Okay.
You all right?
Yeah, not bad.
Right today.
Well, it's got to be the obvious one, hasn't it? What's COVID that? Spread of people versus the variant. Yeah? Who will win the race at infecting more people? The virus or people?
People. I do notice that young people are wearing their masks. I think it's generally older people, adults, I've seen without masks.
Well, the interesting thing is, in my experience, is that I've actually seen quite the reverse. And even more to the point where Professor Chris Whitty earlier today was reading out statistics, and the over 40s, they found that the rate of infection was actually dropping. But what they discovered in the under 30s is that it's still high, and it may actually be getting a little bit higher still. So it's still very high. So that would suggest that they are not following the rules. They are not distancing. To be honest, even people that are wearing masks are not distancing. Because like any virus, like the plague, like the flu virus, yeah, it's not just sputum that that can pass on the virus, but touch can do it as well. But I mean, there seems to be this, that there are people doing various things. I mean, there are people that are wearing the mask and still getting close. And then there are people that are just doing neither. They're not wearing the mask and they're not keeping their distance. And as I said to you before, I mean, it's almost a pathological behavior of I don't care because I'm not going to be affected. So why should I do anything different? But then somewhere down the line, people are going to get sick and who are unwell, either indirectly or directly, by being in contact with that person, are going to get sick. So for the most part, I mean, as you know, over Christmas I actually had COVID, but for me it was quite a mild thing, and I was over it within a week, and all I really had was a cough, a little trouble breathing, and some, I had a bit of a uncomfortable time in the toilet.
Well, it affects different people differently, doesn't it?
Exactly, yeah.
Who's currently in the hospital, suffering quite badly from it. So, but I guess it's you know, got to look at why people aren't wearing masks, what reasons behind it, and we've got the usual, which is medical conditions. So,
I have a right.
Not wearing a mask, you don't really know what to do. How do you approach them? Because they could have a genuine issue. I know somebody once told me that you can get an exemption, so you can get like a badge or something like that that you can wear.
I've heard this, yeah.
And that's why I'm not wearing a mask. But I've not seen anybody with that. So as far as I'm concerned, they're choosing not to wear it.
No, it's all, yeah.
For me, it would come down either they're not taking the disease seriously enough, that it's not a serious illness, just a flu, you know, you get over it. So they're probably don't know anyone who's sick, or they've known someone like yourself who's had it and has recovered, you know, but they're forgetting about the elderly and the vulnerable and people with underlying health conditions that it would affect seriously. I mean, you know, they could come up with excuses like, I don't want to cover my face because it's harder to breathe, or people won't hear or understand them properly. You know, but I've not had any of those issues. You know, it's not comfortable to breathe in a mask, but you're not wearing it 24 hours a day. You're going into a shop, you know, you're not going to be spending 10 hours or 5 hours in a shop. You're going to get in there, you're going to do your shopping, you might be in there 35, 40 minutes, an hour tops. I mean, I never spend that long in a shop. Maybe somebody likes shopping and wants to spend a couple of hours in there, and you know, they won't be comfortable wearing a mask for a prolonged period of time. But I don't really know. I mean, they may just agree that it's the government trying to assert their control. So by not wearing a mask,
yeah, people can have these.
Well, they might not believe that masks actually stop or prevent the spread of coronavirus. That could be the other thing.
Well, it is well known that viruses are spread in two ways. One is by touch and the other one is by mouth. So whether you cough or sneeze, that mucus that you expel up to 15 feet is to a great degree stopped by you wearing a mask. Now, I mean, for myself, I have to admit that I find it very difficult to wear a mask. And as a sufferer of acid reflux, I find that it produces a huge amount of mucus and acid coming into my nose and in my mouth, and it becomes quite unbearable to breathe. And the warmer it is in that place, in the place that you are, then the more difficult that it becomes. But no, I mean, in many cases, it's if you look at the way people behave in other settings prior to COVID-19, there's been a very nihilistic culture that's developed with people where nothing matters and I don't really care, nor do I care about other people. I mean, we've seen it most prevalently in politics of late. But that, you know, when you meet people in the street and they've done something wrong, or they've bumped into you, they're much less likely to even apologise. Saying, "Oh, sorry, I've just bumped into you." They look at you like you were in their way. So there's this very much this very self-interested vibe that you pick up of people nowadays.
What are you saying? People have lost their manners. Society has changed. They've become ruder.
I think it's as stating nihilism, it's a lack of interest, and a lack of interest of others, and complete self-interest of oneself.
So become more self-absorbed as a society over time.
Yes, and I do see that
function of capitalism, me, more.
Well, not necessarily. Yes, to some degree, yes. But then that can be true of any system where you teach people to believe they are better than another. So it doesn't necessarily have to be capitalism. It's been true of other systems in every time ever, but certainly in the last 20 years, the kind of attitude of people towards each other has progressively degraded over time.
So what can we do about this? What would you do? What have you done? Obviously, seen people without masks. Lots of other people have seen people without masks, and how many people would stop them and say, "Excuse me, why aren't you wearing a mask?" Which is very confrontational. But I don't think anybody or many people would actually do that.
Well, yes, that's also...
They may have an underlying condition and a reason to not wear it. But well, oftentimes I've seen people thinking, okay, he doesn't look like he does not need to wear a mask. But I don't know whether what condition they've got.
Well, I mean... further about with this kind of self-interested attitude of people is that they don't like you interfering with what they're doing. They will do what they want, and you do not tell them. And you know, people can become quite aggressive for it. So a lot of people...
No one wants to get into a fight over a mask.
Exactly.
What I would probably say to people is, you know, if you do feel in that situation, there's somebody there, you're vulnerable, perhaps move away from them. Or if you're in a shop, you know, make yourself some additional distance if you can. And if it isn't possible, I suppose, you know, move to another line. I know you shouldn't have to, but, you know, with these in this current circumstances, you may just be better off doing something else or go to the back of the queue, you know, where there's other people wearing masks. I don't know. Or maybe even approach a member of staff and say, look, I'm vulnerable. I've got this issue. There's people in here without masks. Maybe they'll be able to prioritize you when it comes to going to the checkout, which I doubt very much anybody's going to be doing that. Because if you are vulnerable, you're going to be shopping online. If you can get a shopping slot, for example, or ask someone to go.
I'd say good luck with that. I'd say good luck with that. Getting a slot. It can be quite hard, actually.
I guess it's the people in the shops as well. They're there doing their shift, 7-8 hours. It's going to be difficult for them to wear a mask and all, throughout that time period. And if there are customers coming in unmasked, they're potentially making those workers sick.
That this is true, but I mean, we have to also say that there is another category of person that goes to the supermarket, that they're not being ignorant and self-interested such, but they just don't, that they're not necessarily aware of the impact they may be having. So, you know, it throws up many, many issues. You've got those that are very, very cautious. You've got those who have no interest whatsoever. And then there are those that are just not necessarily 100% aware of themselves and the personal space thing, you know, the bubble.
People have a mask on their face but not wearing it properly, so they're not covering their nose.
Yes, that was certainly quite common last year.
What's the point? Don't wear it or wear it properly.
I think they're thinking
they don't make me as angry as the people that don't wear the masks.
No, but I do think that their thinking is in two parts. One is the issue of when you wear a full mask, that you're breathing back in your own germs. And the second part is, apart from the fact that they breathe in fresh air through their nose and then breathe, exhale germs through there. But the spirometer tests show that it's the mouth that you exhale the most germs at the greatest distance, and not necessarily the nose. So that their flawed logic, as you could put it, is that by wearing covering the mouth, that they can continue to breathe in fresh air, but then breathe out any toxins that they may actually have in their body because they may be carrying the disease.
That's interesting.
I get the idea of it, and to be honest, I tried it a few times myself and felt better for it on buses. But the fact is that by the time that you realise just how far that you could actually spread germs in a confined space, it's just best to wear the mask. In a hot day, it's awful. But I live with it and suffer the consequences afterwards. You know, when I'm outside, then I breathe fresh air. I'll be coughing mucus for a while, but nonetheless.
I do wonder how many people are getting sick after reusing the same mask for months on end.
Well, this is true.
I am guilty. I suppose there's going to be thousands, hundreds of thousands of people that probably keep their mask far longer than they actually should.
Well, the average, what are they called? Is it the
M95? Well, not even watch it.
Well, the average M95, I think it is, 97, has about a 4-hour lifespan.
No way.
Yeah, you know, it's a once-use thing. And you think, right, you've been out, yeah, and you've gone around the shops. So by the time that you've been out, if you've gone by bus or you've been walking around the shops, you've probably used it up in that day and it needs to go in the bin.
No way. I don't think many people are actually following those guidelines.
No, I think you'll find that they wear the same mask over and over and over. I mean, I actually wear a cloth mask of which I wash regularly. Although I have to admit, do not use fabric softener. Although it's like having your lungs dry cleaned. Just
maybe use a bit of hot soapy water, maybe.
Oh well, no, you can stick it in the washing machine. Just don't put any fabric softener in there. But otherwise, you know, I mean, it will be clean. I mean,
okay, so to recap, if you are a vulnerable person, obviously wear your mask. If you see somebody not wearing a mask, should you approach them? Probably.
I'd give them a wide berth, to be honest.
Get into a confrontation. They may have a legitimate reason, so it might just be worth being empathetic and giving them benefit of the doubt. If you're not sure, maybe talk to a member of staff, but don't forget it's not the shop's staff's responsibility to enforce mask wearing. It's more a police matter.
It is becoming a shop.
Yeah, and I've not known any shops that have, they've obviously got signs up everywhere, but there's still people that will go in.
Well, the major supermarkets have said that
they're turned away from going in, or they're not going to be stopped from going in. So potentially do that, but take precautions to protect yourself, I guess. Maybe just keep some sanitizer nearby, you know, in the car or carry around with you. Or maybe you could even wear gloves, for example, when you go into a shopping super centre or shops or stores or whatever.
Yes, actually, saying
maybe
that.
Maybe I've not thought of that because you're touching baskets and handling food stuff that other people could have touched.
This is
just take care of yourself. If there is somebody without a mask, I'll probably say leave them be. You know, you're out there minding your business, just let them get on with theirs. You move away from them, or you know, just let them go ahead of you, and just take precautions. I know you could think, well, I shouldn't have to do that, but protect yourself. You know, there are people out there, and for whatever reason, and it may be a legitimate reason that they're not wearing a mask. So protect yourself.
Well, I have to say, though, on that point, I certainly agree. But you've maybe remember that in the early days, in the first lockdown, I remember that the over 70s certainly wore vinyl gloves. Surgical gloves, and that they wore the mask and shield to protect themselves. And, you know, and it's, you know, it's the right, obviously, and obviously they were ahead of the curve. And to wearing gloves is good for you, but the problem is if you've touched surfaces or you've been touched by people, then the germs are on the gloves. You have to kind of think in that vein that is a possibility. Because as it stands at the moment, Boris emphasized only a few days ago that the virus can be passed onto surfaces, which then can be picked up by other people and then passed on again.
Carry sanitizer. I mean, I've got a little bottle in the car which you can use when you get back into your car.
Well, we
in your pocket and use it as you leave the store.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people have been carrying sanitizer for the past year. I mean, there are those that were well ahead of the curve that were carrying it before COVID anyway, because public places can be rather dirty because you can't necessarily trust the person in front of you has washed their hands.
Agree.
But certainly, I mean, that there is a motto that I follow that I try and promote, which is, think of yourself when you think of others. Yeah, if you think for yourself if you think of your own protection, yeah, you're protecting other people.
Oh yeah, I agree there. I mean, obviously now some of the shops, Tesco's and Asda's and Waitrose's, have made it compulsory to wear a mask before they'll give you you can gain entry to their store. Shame they didn't do it earlier, but I think it's good that it's out there now and that they're doing it. I've not been to these shops, so I wonder whether they'll give you a mask if you say, look, I haven't got a mask on me. I forgot. Or you could show them what they're going to need. They're going to, if you make an excuse and say, look, I've got asthma or I've got a phobia of some sort and I can't wear it, are they going to let you in? Or are they going to send you away?
Well,
prove it.
Time will tell, won't it? You know, I mean, is it the kindness of strangers, to help one another, or is that kindness of strangers just going to make things even worse? The fact is that the supermarkets are probably the second biggest incubator of viruses because of the hive mentality of people. They tend to go to places at the same time. Supermarkets, there are peak times where everybody goes at the same time. You've touched everything. You're within inches of one another. It's like zombie apocalypse. You're going there to get the virus or a virus of some kind, but we never actually thought about it too much before now. The thing is that if we were a little cleaner, you know, we washed our hands more regularly, especially when we're out, and keep our hands clean and keep our distance in flu season, then and remembering a much more important thing. Those are the elements that we've learned from being in the COVID crisis. But certainly in flu season, something that's been known since Egypt about how the transmission of viruses are actually, how it's actually done. We know that it's touch, it's sneezing, it's coughing, you know, you put a hand in the water or you know, a water supply, and then suddenly you've got cholera. They know how these transmissions, how they work. They just didn't know how to deal with them necessarily after that it had already spread. And some very simple things. I mean, even the song "Ring a Ring of Roses" talks about sneezing. It was a method of how the plague was passed. Now we found ourselves in a situation now where we have indoor plumbing, we have closed sewers, we bathe daily, or we hope we bathe daily, and we've had antibiotics that have been readily available since the 1950s. Now, people have become quite complacent. You know, they think, well, you know, I eat well, I bathe regularly, you know, I shouldn't have to worry too much about the flu season. But it's the wrong way to be thinking about these things, because you think, oh, well, if I get a cold, I'll go to my doctor and get some antibiotics after you've passed it on to 20 or 30 people. And if you took more simple precautions, like, don't just sneeze out into the public sphere, or just open your mouth and cough. The very least that people do that they think is a good idea to stop that spread is to cover their mouth with their hands. The problem with that is that if you're out, how long before you get to wash your hands? And by then, you've put your hand on some surface, or you've touched someone, or you've touched some food somewhere, and then 10 other people have then picked up a virus from somewhere, yeah, or from your sputum. Whereas, you know, we learn in hospitality that if you're going to sneeze or you're going to cough when you're working, sneeze into your elbow. That's the very least that you can do. But the logical thing to do. And they say get a tissue, sneeze or cough into it. You caught it, throw it in the bin. Go and wash your hands.
Yeah. You should, in this day and age, carry tissue around with you, or maybe some antiseptic. You know, it's not hard to do. It's not hard to do. Okay, I think that's plenty of advice.
Well, yes, but I mean, on that subject. The fact is, when people have got a cold, they don't keep their distance very well. So, you know, if everybody were to be a little bit more conscious of their behavior patterns and their behavior when they got a cold, then surely, as we have seen with the way we've been dealing with coronavirus by keeping people apart, flu season would be a much more manageable problem for the NHS.
Yeah, if people follow the same precautions.
I mean, as it stands today, we have the fourth highest death rate in the world today, and that is the 22nd of the 1st, 2021. I mean, that it fluctuates. Sometimes over Christmas, Italy had a higher death rate than we did again. And then we get higher, and then other countries get higher. It's hard thing to control. And there's the behavior of people, there's the behavior of variants, and there are other factors involved in these things. So as it stands today, we are at 94,580 deaths. That there are political parties and people that are blaming the government for not doing enough. But actually, from what we've seen, it's to do with people. Their behavior is shaping the situation because they are not necessarily following the rules properly. Keep your distance, wear a mask, keep your hands clean, and the thing is that it only takes a small number of the population in a country that's very small like ours, that is densely populated. I mean, we have one of the smallest countries in Western Europe, and we have the second highest population. So even just saying that to people, and the fact that the people that are actually most at risk are congregated in the large cities, that people will be thinking, well, hang on a minute, how do I look after myself? And people are doing that, but it doesn't change that there is this percentage of people, and they do go across the board, race, age, whatever, that just don't care. So we've been prolonging this problem.
There's going to be those people, though, unfortunately, that won't follow the rules. It will always be that small minority.
And they're the ones that won't get sick anyway.
Together. Had an impact on the numbers.
Yeah, but it's not just a small impact. It's a great impact because we've had three lockdowns now and we've had three spikes. And
vaccination strategy, what do you think going forward?
What
will that have in light of the new variants that have been identified?
Well, I mean,
I'm kind of as a layman thinking, okay, you get vaccinated for one strain, but does that protect you for the other strains that have emerged? I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
As it stands at the moment, they're being cautious. They're going on the statistical data. As it stands at the moment, they're treating for the first variant, but for the original variant, and they're treating for the Kent variant. Only now we're looking at the South African and Brazil variant, and there may be others to come. And they will potentially become more virulent the longer they have time to incubate and get around the world's population.
This is a nightmare. It's not going to end anytime soon.
No, because there is a slight problem in the way that we're handling the situation. And I'm not talking about Britain. There was a Dr. Chow, who's formerly a deputy of the World Health Organization, who was on one of the news channels only a few days ago, who brought up a point of the fact that the 25 wealthiest countries that are currently vaccinating their population are looking to vaccinate their entire population. And there is a separate group of COVAX that does comprise some of these countries that would be vaccinating the third world. But Mr. Chow's...
Will the vaccine catch the new variant, though?
We don't know.
Yes.
But because the there's no data for that yet, so you can't make unfounded statements. But the important thing.
Obviously mutating. So your argument is to vaccinate people, the poorer people, people living in higher density countries or higher density housing first, so it doesn't give an opportunity for the virus to mutate, because you've potentially you've treated one variant.
Well, I think the statement that Mr. Chow made, Dr. Chow, I apologize, made, was the fact that we need to be looking at vaccinating our most vulnerable, and then moving on to looking at the third world. Now, there may be to and sorrowing about this. You know, some people will say, well, why are we not looking after our own people? And you know, we have to, as other countries are. And it is an argument in itself, but that there is another slight problem. That in the time it will take us to vaccinate our entire populations of these first 25 countries, there will be multiple variants spreading around the world that will prolong the life of this virus.
So, but it's taking time to ramp up the production of the vaccine.
Yes.
And then you've got new variants coming, and that requires research. And then again, if there is a vaccine, then that needs to be ramped up as well. So perhaps I guess government have been pulling out all the stops to make this happen. They're not going to get in the way of stopping the pharmaceutical companies from, you know, building out the infrastructure to manufacture the vaccine. But I wonder if there's a way to speed things up even more.
Well, because of demand, I think it was late last week, Pfizer actually closed down their production of their antibiotic. They're not calling it an antibiotic, but since it kills disease, I'm suspecting that it is some kind of an antibiotic. But the vaccination. The demand is outstripping supply by a long way.
And it's going to, yeah.
So Pfizer had decided that they're going to close their operation for 2 weeks so they can make changes that will allow them to produce the vaccine at a faster rate.
Is there anything in the UK we can do? Like in America, I heard there was something called the Defence Procurement Act or something. I don't know exactly what it's called, but
for bandaging and things like that, to
force manufacturers to retool their factories to manufacture vaccines.
I think that it's
that works, but
it is possible. I mean obviously it happened in World War II where America
stopped. Got anything in the UK that could do that's actually forcing business to turn over their factories. But then again, I'm sure there's plenty of disused warehouses that could be brought to use quickly.
We are in the situation where, I mean, I know what you're talking about. I mean, there is a way to procure medicines and in an emergency, certainly in America, that existed. But we're not talking about the same thing as turning Ford factories to churning out Sherman tanks. I mean, it's whether the labs in question have the facilities available at the time to actually start manufacturing. You know, I mean, I don't know the method. I don't know the method that you would go about to start producing that kind of vaccine and what kind of facilities that you will need, because obviously different labs have different facilities for different jobs. I'm sure that there are plenty of labs that can be retooled, but interesting as it stands, at the moment there are three vaccines available. there's the Pfizer, the Moderna, which strangely we're not hearing much about, and the AstraZeneca, which seems to be the most popular one, as it only costs £2.50, and it can be stored between 2 and 9 degrees centigrade, so, which is amazing because you can stick it in an ordinary fridge. Pfizer one is minus 70, and the Moderna one, I believe, is minus 22 degrees. It needs to be stored at, which causes some logistical problems. Interestingly, what it's not getting a lot of press now, but we're actually developing 3 vaccines in this country. Another one being produced by UCL, and there was a third one, I believe. But they're saying that those vaccines won't be available till the end of this year. But I can't see that it will really matter because too much about the length of time, because this virus is going to be around for quite some time.
Yeah. So to wrap up, it's, you know, take precautions, protect yourself, because there's going to be people out there that you will encounter when you go into the shops or whatnot, you know, that won't be wearing masks. So do whatever you can to keep yourself safe. That's what I would end on.
Yeah, COVID man and Captain COVID is out there, but it doesn't mean that your caution and kindness should be compromised, by their lack of interest. You carry on doing what you're doing, and be safe for yourself, and in that, you, other people will be safe as well. Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
To you.
Yeah, it's nice to talk to you again. I'm sure we'll be talking again soon. If you want any further information on COVID, you can go to the twaymirrornet.com, which I will put below on the on this video, and you get some statistical data and about the progression of the virus from March last year. We will keep you updated on this. We may make another video about COVID because this is going on and on all the time. And watch out for other videos. And please like this and subscribe if you like us even more. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Goodbye.